Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:13 British Summer Time. Today is August 27th. Well, today in Asia we saw that markets were a little bit weaker across the boards, but again, nothing in the way of downward dynamics. In Europe, very much the same. A number of markets closed down on the day, but all, well, the vast majority less than 1%. And in the USA, the majority of markets closed up on the day, but less than half of 1%. So again, very steady action. In fact, looking at the S&P, it has been remarkably steady around this 1,020 to 1,030 point level for much of the week. And we haven't seen very much moves up or down in a number of stock markets. In the bond markets, a very similar story. We saw that treasuries were a little bit weaker in here today, but not by any significant margin. And in the commodity markets, by and large, the commodity markets were relatively steady in here today. The oil market was up by over a dollar back to the 72 region, and this has been a rather sanguine little pullback over the 4 days of this week so far. Natural gas was interesting because it closed well off its lows. The low was down at 269, and it closed out the day at 284. Now that's still down on the day, but the decline over the last week has been certainly slower than that seen last week, which was quite abrupt. And it may be into an area of support. Certainly, I'm waiting for the first upward dynamic before committing myself again to natural gas. But it is one of the cheaper commodities out there, both in terms of absolute and relative terms. So I'm watching it quite closely for my own personal benefit, hopefully. Looking at the rest of the commodity complex, we see that the industrial metals were quite steady. Copper was up on the day, nickel and zinc were a little bit softer, but certainly, again, not in a dynamic fashion. Where we did see some of the larger moves was in dollar cross rates. And this really has been a case of up one day, down the next over the last 5 or 6 days. And today it was the dollar's turn to be weak, and against the euro, it was weaker by a full cent. And the same against the Canadian dollar and the Australian dollar. And when you look at it against the euro, you see that you have this range in the region or below 145, but there is this steady progression of higher lows that are pushing up towards this 145 level, and it does appear to be only a matter of time before we see it breaking downwards. And because we have this rather volatile action, it really is up to one day and down the next. It won't be emphatic until we actually see that break above 145, or until the progression of higher lows are taken out, the dollar bulls will not be proved right. There is certainly a war going on between supply and demand in the very short term in a number of these dollar crosses. But certainly, where the dollar has the most room to depreciate is in against those currencies that have a larger yield differential, and those are primarily in the commodity producing countries. But there are a large number of emerging market currencies that have this bigger yield differential, higher growth rates, surplus in a number of different areas. And it is difficult to make a sound bullish argument for why the dollar should go up, other than we run into a big stock market correction, which pulls back a lot of risk type assets, and you get this liquidation of risk trades, which is a demand for dollars, which would push it upwards, or the common terminology being seeking a safe haven. Looking at some of the way carry trades have been unfolding over the last 4 and 5 months, well, carry traders are in a rather privileged position at the moment, and certainly what we've seen with a number of the larger banks coming out and saying that their trading profits were quite high in the first quarter would certainly be explained by the fact that they can borrow four different currencies, four different major large pools of liquidity, and invest them abroad in higher yielding assets for a very low cost. And the assets have been appreciating, and we've seen that in the remarkable performance, particularly in the emerging markets and in the particularly in emerging Asia and commodity producing Latin America. And that type of trading activity has certainly helped to bolster the earnings in trading houses. Not to mention, of course, the facts that they have been able to borrow at remarkably low rates, and their margins on lending have probably not been higher in a very long time. If we look at the yield curve chart, which is the spread of the 10-year over the 2-year, it was inverted back in 2006 and 2007, but right now it's at highs that haven't been seen in a decade. And in fact, if you look at it over 20 years, which I think is about as much history as we've got, it's at its highest level in 20 years. So the margin that banks can make on lending, just in their domestic markets, is quite high, is actually at highs that haven't been seen, been seen only on a few occasions in the last 20 years. So they're making money in that regard. Now, their balance sheets are awful, and it's going to take time for the toxic assets that they've got on their balance sheets to be unwound and digested and written off. And that is going to retard the performance of the banking sector in general. However, as we see with the performing banks that are out there, and because there is such a stark difference between the better performing and the worse performing financial institutions, we see that those banks that are able to leverage what they've got on their books are doing really quite well. And they are in a privileged position at the moment, because with interest rates in Japan and the US and the UK and in the Eurozone at historic lows, they can not only invest that money abroad, but they can invest it in higher yielding assets domestically. They skip the currency fluctuation if they want to in that regard. And there are plenty of higher yielding assets domestically within those economies that are readily available for speculative investors. And certainly, with the way that credit markets have tightened up over the last 6 months, that would be an indication that at least some of that speculative flow of capital is heading into credit markets. We've also seen that emerging markets have done phenomenally well, and because of the fact that we've seen, for example, the Asian dollar index and the Latin American dollar index pushing upwards over the last 4 to 5 months, in particular since March, then carry traders have done fantastically well. The low-hanging fruit have probably been picked, which would suggest that the further upside in terms of the currency bets that are in place will become a little bit more difficult from here, or that there is a greater risk that a reversionary pullback will take place. But for the moment, these advances really do look relatively consistent, and I posted 8 different cross rates in. I will post them when I post the website. I'm just waiting for my proof to come back. And the point being is that we've seen that cross rates across a wide selection of potential carry trade funding currencies are doing really quite well in classic destinations for carry trades, such as the Brazilian real or the New Zealand dollar, and that those stock markets, the Brazilian market particularly, has done really very well. And higher yielding assets in New Zealand have been notable in terms of their outperformance. So certainly the carry trade type of funding arrangement is certainly back in action at the moment, and has been for a number of months. That's not going to really get a significant change until we start to see interest rate differentials tightening up, and there's little potential for that to happen in the, well, before the end of the year at the very least. And when we do start to see interest rates moving upwards in some of those funding currencies, well, they're probably going to be moving upwards faster in some of the destination currencies. So the interest rate differentials will probably improve over time rather than disimprove. Where we could see pressure building up is in some of these markets becoming overextended relative to their moving averages. And if we do start to see a larger reaction coming in, particularly in some of those better performing emerging markets, we could start to see some upward pressure on funding currencies. And obviously, the currencies that have been used most for these types of carry trades would come under the most upward pressure if some of them were being unwound. And that will be something to bear in mind as we move into a more corrective phase whenever that does begin to evolve. For the moment, we're looking at the stock markets, and they've been very steady over the last week. They've held the majority of the gains they put in last week. And we know that we've had a fantastic rally over the last 5 months, that the low-hanging fruit have been picked, but that we can continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt, so as long as we see these risk assets continuing to make new highs. And we know what to look for in terms of loss of consistency to indicate that we are into a more corrective phase. It is of interest that we have two templates for what a reversionary type reaction would look like. We have the classic reaction, which would be the Chinese market, where we had a very swift pullback in less than 3 weeks, and now it's finding support above the moving average. And we could have a ranging consolidation below the highs for a number of months as the overbought condition is unwound, with a view to reasserting at some point in the near term to medium term. Or we could have what could be developing in markets such as Taiwan, which has failed to move to new high ground, but has held the majority of its gains so far and has been simply ranging, which would be a ranging consolidation which would allow the moving average to catch up with it. And of course, we could have something in between the two. But what certainly looks likely is that the vast, vast majority of stock markets globally are now in a bull market. And while large numbers of them are overextended relative to their moving averages, reactions are likely to be limited to reversions towards the mean rather than pullbacks into massive base formation extension or retests of their lows. Retests of their lows is now turning into an outside possibility rather than a 50-50 chance less than a few months ago for lagging markets in particular. So that pretty much covers it for the market news. David woke up this morning surrounded by his family in good spirits when I was talking to the family this morning. He was in the process of eating his first lunch, I think, which was fish and vegetables, and cajoling the nurses into allowing him to have more than the allocated 3 visitors in the room and for them to stay longer than visiting hours. So certainly in good form and raring to get back into back into commenting on markets, but will of course be taking time off to recover from open heart surgery, which, fit as he is, will take a little bit of time. And with that, I will wish all the best to all of you.